as a first impulse, felt that he should collect the interesting beads and string them on a string and give them to his wife to wear. And she wore the necklace, wore them to the grocery store where she works as a cashier, and one day a delegation of men from the Bulgarian National Museum, on an outing, stopped in to purchase some groceries for their camping holiday, and the first scientist to look at Mrs. Todorov's necklace gasped with amazement and then called out to the others, "Come see this. The beads were gold." But, more significantly, the beads were so engraved as to date themselves back in time for 3,000 years. The directors of the museum, looking on, announced, "I feel faint." And so did Mrs. Todorov. The necklace is secure now. The farm is off limits until the experts and the Todorovs can decide what to do next. And now, page 4. The mailbag so often includes a note like this: "I have used your premier formula for ocular nutrition. I just had my eye checkup, and my macular degeneration has stabilized. My eye doctor was delighted to see that I was using your vitamins. Thank you, Paul Harvey." And Paul Harvey adds, "Thank you, High Health." Americans, we now have a reliable long-term scientific study confirming similar results. Certain nutrients may indeed help patients reduce the risk or slow the progression of even advanced macular degeneration. Approximately 25%, 1 in 4 of the study patients, achieved that result. Not only Paul Harvey, but tens of thousands of people are ordering and reordering ocular nutrition from High Health over and over again, because you get all of the nutrients, the lutein, the ester C and D and zinc. You get them all in one easy-to-swallow capsule with a phone call to 1-800-686-2299. Yes, that is the way I get mine. 1-800-686-2299. Please, if you know anybody terrified by the diagnosis macular degeneration, give them this phone number, 1-800-686-2299. The website is www.highhealth.com. Amtrak is trying to increase the number of rail passengers by offering overnight passengers $100 worth of alcoholic drinks. Each passenger gets $100 worth of alcoholic drinks. I hope they're charging at least $50 a drink. When off-the-road vehicles are off the road in the Sonoran Desert of Arizona, they despoil nature's artwork for generations. Off-the-road vehicles compress the desert soil, crush plants, and innocent frolic can damage desert with scars that may last 100 years. The state of Arizona requires special licenses for off-the-road vehicles, but if that's a deterrent, it does not show. The number of such vehicles has multiplied to 4 times what it was. Now, for what it's worth, University of Cincinnati scholars Julia Taylor and Dr. Lawrence Maslach have created a computer with a sense of humor. A computer with a sense of humor. A computer that can make jokes and laugh at the jokes. In the New Scientist magazine, this issue: "Paul, how dare I try one? Doctor, I swallowed a bone." The doctor says, "Are you choking? Are you choking?" The patient says, "No, I really did." Paul Harvey, good day.
And now with a check on the traffic, here's Carolyn Peterson.
Looks like we've got some slowdowns for the lunch hour today. Many of the slowdowns are due, of course, to the 35W bridge disaster. 35W northbound now, slow, approaching 94. 94 westbound, which is a detour route for many folks, speeds dropping well below the posted 48 miles an hour from 35E to the Lowry Hill Tunnel. And 36 eastbound and westbound, 35W to White Bear Avenue, the average speed, again, just a bit below the posted. And that, of course, is in both directions as 35W is closed both directions between 94 and 36 to 80. I'm Carolyn Peterson with continuing coverage of the 35W bridge disaster on AM 1500 KSTP.
I'll just say that we know of several people that who are pinned or trapped, and we're at the time when we left them deceased. So, and I'll just leave it at that.
I am 1500 KSTP 1205. Ron Rosenbaum in for Tommy Mischke. Obviously, it's a big day. There is only one story in town, and we are going to try to cover every single angle of it. 646-8255-1877-615-1500. That cut, by the way, we'll talk about that later. That was Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan. Before we go anywhere else, we do have, Senator Norm Coleman hanging on. Is that right? Well, let's say good afternoon, Senator. How are you today?
Well, I've had better days, Ron. I just came back from what is really just a hot rendering, just chilling sight. Yesterday was a tough day for Minneapolis, and there'll be some tough days ahead.
Senator, did you ever imagine, you lived here a lot of years, you were mayor of St. Paul, I believe, when September 11th happened. It's sort of odd. I would have been less surprised, quite frankly, if we had a major terrorist action in the Twin Cities than the fact that an interstate bridge that carries between 150 and 200,000 cars a day would fall in. Do you share that view?
Well, by the way, there's one good thing that came out of the 9/11 plan. You know, when I say good thing, but we learned the shortcomings of how to respond to emergencies. And because I was mayor then, and it was pretty stunning what we didn't know, what we didn't do, and how we didn't communicate. And cities like St. Paul and Minneapolis began an aggressive program of preparing, training, hoping the day never comes. Well, the day came in Minneapolis, and as you're right, not through a terrorist attack, at least from what we know. And I don't think it was, you know, there's nothing to lead us to believe it was that, but something that we don't understand is still a tremendous tragedy, and it's going to take us a while, Ron, to figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, I heard an engineer talking about the fact that they're sometimes arguing about the cause of bridge disasters 5 years after the fact, and at least, you know, you never know. It's really early, but from what people say, we're probably at least a year down the road, if ever, of knowing exactly what causes. Can I ask you a technical question? This is a federal interstate highway in the middle of a city, in the middle of a state. Who has responsibility, really, to take care of that bridge? Is that a federal or state?
The state has responsibility for taking care of the bridge. The feds set the standards for kind of safety on the bridge, and then the state has responsibility ultimately for taking care of and maintaining the bridge. Mm. Can I just step back a little bit of the point you made about how long it takes? We had General Mark Rosenkerr, who is the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB. They're the ones in plane crashes and great catastrophes involving transportation. They're the ones that go in and they figure it out. They will literally reconstruct this bridge almost like a jigsaw puzzle, kind of on a flat, obviously a flat plane, not reconstruction, but kind of lay it out. Some big warehouse in Washington, they'll analyze, they'll x-ray, and they will figure out the cause of this. It may take a year, but they will figure out the cause of this. It's a very painstaking process. They have what they call GO team. Those are their kind of emergency response folks. I believe a lot of them flew in from Houston last night. General Rosenkrantz, by the way, is a general before he became head of the NTSB. He was in Florida when I spoke to him last night. He hopped a plane in the middle of the night. The response to this, and I would say in this post-Katrina world, is people don't wait nowadays. They're there. They're on a plane. They're on the ground. I flew in this morning with the Secretary of Transportation along with Senator Klobuchar and Congressman Ellison. But folks are on the ground. What we will figure out the cause of this, General Rosenkerr today said that it could take a year, but we'll get an answer. In regard to the technical question you asked about who has responsibility, the state has responsibility. I believe the Fed set standards.
Senator, I don't know about you, but I presume you share this. It never fails to impress me, the way regular human beings in this country respond. We certainly saw it on September 11th, but I was watching Spellbound on my television last night. Person after person, they came running towards the disaster to help. These people risked life and limb. I don't care if they were emergency responders or just civilians.
It's
amazing.
Citizen. You know, it's interesting because my feeling as I approached the site and as I was kind of, you know, looking over, looking down and seeing the car submerged in the water, seeing a trailer truck that obviously didn't get out of that trailer truck. The devastation was overwhelming and heart-wrenching and just really hurt. And on the other hand, I saw the school bus, and I had General Rosenkerr recounting to me from what his folks got about the acts of bravery.
We've lost one. Jason, why don't you thank Senator Coleman, if you can, and tell him his cell broke up. Should I take this on the bottom here? Senator Amy Klobuchar. Amy, are you with us?
I am.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly now.
Okay.
Senator, I was just talking to Senator Coleman, and, you know, you're like me. I mean, you're a local, and I was telling Senator Coleman, I would have been less surprised if we'd had a major terrorist attack in Minneapolis than I would that a major interstate bridge in the city, in the middle of Minneapolis, this is pretty close to where you live, would just come falling down. I'm shocked still.
I have to tell you, when you look down at this bridge, it was just a mammoth disaster, and you think of the fear at these drivers as they're standing, you know, they're driving, they got kids in the back, and they're on this precipice as the bridge starts to buckle under them. That the acts of heroism, the acts of rescue, is something that will be recounted for months. And I can tell you, I'm going to go back to Washington, and I'm going to tell them about what happened here, because this was a model of how a community responds with one voice, with coordination. You think about what happened with Katrina, with the miscues and the disastrous reactions from some of the personnel. This was about working together and preparedness, and it's really a model for the rest of the country. So that's one thing I'm bringing back. The other is the great need here. You know, this is a bridge. It's only five blocks from my house. It's the center of our community. We need to fix it, and we need to fix it now. And then finally, we need to get to the bottom of this. Bridges just don't fall down in America. They just don't fall down. Something happened here, and we need to find out what it is.
Amy, what is it, and maybe I'm jumping the gun by asking you, but I'm genuinely confused. There's a story on the front page of the Star Tribune: the bridge was rated structurally deficient in 2005. Is that something that's meaningful, or is that something that's just another term for it's got problems, but this is not the kind of problem that should result from that?
You know, you should talk to the state transportation officials about that, as well as the transportation secretary. What I understand is that a rating they give to bridges, which means that they should be on the schedule to get repaired. It doesn't necessarily mean they should be repaired immediately, but I think we're going to get more information of that as the days unfold.
So Washington, I assume you're going to go back and tell whoever you go back and tell that, well, we've got a disaster on our hands here. The problem is, you know, we've got loss of life, we've got people who are injured, but just for other people, I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work from a traffic standpoint. My understanding is this bridge carried 150 to 200,000 cars a day. Where's that all going to go?
Well, exactly. And one of the things I learned this morning from the transportation sector is when barges have run into bridges or earthquakes have struck, they actually put immediate money into building up alternative routes. We already have 25 additional buses. We're going to have to get more transit. And then we have to start this work immediately. You know, this isn't going to be as easy to rebuild as bridges that were partially destroyed since this entire bridge infrastructure went down. But one of the things we're going to ask for today in Washington is a waiver of the $100 million cap that you can automatically get for disasters like this. And you have to do that by an act of Congress to get a waiver so we have the money in place. And Norm Coleman and I are working together on that.
Amy, I mean, it's going to take, I have no idea. I've never seen anything like this in this town. I'm sure it's going to take a significant period of time to clear the rubble and whatever, but aren't we talking several years before another bridge can be built?
We hope that it won't take several years. The estimate is somewhere between 1 and 2 years. We're going to do everything we can to move that along. You know, we have the winter problem with construction. We have the state fair coming right up. Next year, we're going to have the state fair plus the Republican convention at the same time. These should all be incentives to get this moving quickly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Amy, anything else? I mean, I heard you last night on talking from Washington. You sounded like you were very unhappy that you weren't here, and somehow you and...
I was glad we were able to get here today.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, somehow you and Senator Coleman managed to get here quickly, which is why I'm sure you wanted to be. Anything else before I let you go?
No, that's it. I just want to thank you for following the story and letting people know what they should be doing, and this is just a tribute to all the people of our state, the way they came together.
All right, Senator, thanks. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Jason, do we want to go to Carolyn Peterson here with traffic?
Yes, it is time to do another traffic update.
Okay. Carolyn?
Hey, good afternoon. You know, much of the traffic news may be redundant today, but needs to be repeated as so many people are affected by this bridge disaster. 35W closed both directions between 94 and 280. Now, starting with the converting of 280 into a freeway, that happened today. All the stoplights have been turned off along Highway 280, meaning all the lights are green. Broadway and County Road B are closed at 280, and that has eliminated some intersections that can slow things down.
So, Carolyn, mm-hmm. they're kind of using 280 as 35, right?
Right.
I mean, that's going to be our highway.
That's the highway with a little bit of 94, and so that's going to be, the main route for folks. And
for years.
Yeah. I'm thinking two, maybe three. I don't know, but, you know, this is going to be a big impact for the folks along 280. Broadway, County Road B, they're closed, so those intersections have been eliminated. That's what usually slows 280 down. And then the goal is to get you from 35W to 94 as fast as possible. It really worked well this morning. The commuters did a great job. The folks in the northern suburbs who come into Minneapolis every morning, they use the alternates, and it worked very well.
Can I play devil's mm-hmm. advocate?
Sure.
My fear is that we are in sort of the dog days, and a lot of people mm-hmm. are on vacation, and probably a lot of people did not go to work today. But
right.
once the University of Minnesota mm-hmm. opens up and the world sort of starts again, you know, yeah. Labor Day or so, how are people going to get north coming from 35?
280, as we were just talking about, and what Amy was talking about with the 25 extra buses that have been pressed into action.
Yeah.
I know from a personal standpoint, for me to take a bus into work here at KSTP, a bus route, as I looked it up 2 weeks ago, was an hour and 45 minutes. Now, my route is not affected by this 35W bridge collapse personally, but there will be a lot of folks sharing the road with me.
Yep.
From now on.
There will.
We'll be adding miles to our commute, and we'll have to take a lot more time. And it's my hope that in the immediate future that a lot of employers will take a look at their employees' schedules. Where do you live? Where are you coming from? Perhaps you can do some work at home. Perhaps you can come in earlier, leave later. My hope is that many employers will, you know, kind of look at that, change schedules, that sort of thing, and, you know, just kind of go from there.
We're all going to have to pull together here mm-hmm. because this is, the traffic in the Twin Cities has been a disaster for a long time.
And this takes
away a major artery.
Right. And, you know, with this bridge collapse yesterday, we were rather lucky in that so many people are on vacation or are leaving work earlier due to the summer schedules with kids and that sort of thing. And so most of us are seeing a little bit lighter levels to and from work. Now, since the disaster, things are going to change. They're going to change rapidly. And I think every day is going to be a new adventure. And if you look at it that way, and if you're lucky enough to have, a sympathetic employer, and you can arrange your schedule thusly, maybe take a bus. I noticed a lot of bikes on the road on the way in today. Mm. I don't know about anybody else.
Any port in the storm.
Mm-hmm. That's right, but we are offering continuing coverage here, and I will be updating KSTP listeners roughly every 15 minutes to any news and any changes on our system. Right here at AM 1500 KSTP.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1179. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1179. That's 1-800-955-1179.
You save big money. You save big money. When you shop Menards.
Stop into Menards where you'll get big closeout savings on patio furniture, lawn decor, and more. Enjoy the last bit of summer and get a head start on next year. Steel and wrought iron patio sets are 20% off. Aluminum sets are 25% off. Choose from a variety of styles. All wood and wicker patio sets are 30% off now at Menards. All lawn decor, arbors, and shepherd hooks also 30% off. This is a great opportunity to save big money on great items. But hurry in. These deals are only good while supplies last. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card. And while you're shopping, register to win a 2008 Dodge Avenger.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, I'm Ben Payton for Courage Center. Did you ever stop to think how fast your life could change? About 10 years ago, my life changed instantly. I broke my neck playing ice hockey. I was paralyzed from the shoulders down. The Courage Center provided me with a warm, inspiring, encouraging environment. Today I live independently, and I'm able to enjoy life like I did before. Courage to give is what keeps Courage Center going. And there are three easy ways to give. Cash, cars, and clothing. Help Courage Center reach its goal. If you have a vehicle you've been thinking of selling or trading, why not donate it to Cars for Courage instead? Gently used clothing and cash donations are another way to give. Do you have the courage to help others?
To learn more about how you can help, go to am1500.com and click on Cars for Cash on the right-hand side of the screen. There you will find the three easy ways to give. Courage Center, helping create opportunities for people with disabilities.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere. And then I realized that the bridge is going down. And it just fell all the way down. I'm just lucky I wasn't over the water.
AM 1500 KSTP, Ron Rosenbaum in for Tommy Mischke, 646-8255, 1-877-615-1500. Of course, there's only one story in town, the tragedy of the bridge last night. And there's so many angles to this story. We are endeavoring to get, I mean, in the beginning we had, because I thought it would be interesting to see what our two senators who flew in. So we talked to Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Norm Coleman. We're going to be talking to reporters who were eyewitnesses, the whole deal as the 2 hours unfolds. Before we go, we'll have Bob McNaney in a minute, who was up there in the chopper last night. I'm sure you saw him. I believe KSTP television was the only one for some period of time with pictures, the great advantage of having their own chopper. I don't know, and I'm interested what our listeners think as well. As I mentioned to Senator Coleman, I would have been less shocked had there been a terrorist attack in Minneapolis than I was the fact that a major, this isn't just some, you know, a little rural bridge. This is one of the major thoroughfares in our town. I don't know if there's any bridge that gets more traffic than this bridge. The numbers I heard were 150,000 to 200,000 cars a day go over to this bridge. And you know, in America, in the year 2007, and certainly in the state of Minnesota, bridges are not supposed to fall down, but they did. As far as the heroism that we saw, I mean, we've become jaded. I expect it. I mean, it happens time after time that you see people do things that are just remarkable. And what's most remarkable about it is they don't think they did anything remarkable. I mean, the I don't know if you saw the picture of the woman who was diving, kept diving into the Mississippi, doing everything she could to rescue anybody she could find. The civilians, pedestrians, there were people. It just took over directing traffic. There were people who ran towards the scene to comfort people. And, of course, there was, the usual, the first responders who are paid to do this, who don't think twice about risking their lives. It's quite remarkable. But before the 2 hours are done, we're going to try to talk a little bit about there are traffic issues that need to be dealt with. There are recovery issues we want to talk about. And it may sound crass, but there are liability issues. And believe me, there are people working on those aspects even as we speak. I want to say something about the Hennepin County Medical Center, the emergency team, the media coverage. There's so many angles of the story. You want me to take Bobby on the top? I'll take him on the top. Bob McNaney, KSTP News, are you with us?
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Five Eyewitness News. Bobby, I'm fine. How are you?
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Quite a day.
Yeah, well, quite a day and quite a night. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm really not trying to toot our own horn, but I think that Five Eyewitness News must have been the first station with pictures. And once you could see the pictures, it almost had a 9/11 look to it, didn't it?
It did. It was Friday. I'll tell you this much. My 7 and 10-year-old walked into the room and saw a TV with it on, and they were pale-faced. And so when it affects kids that age, you've got some serious stuff going on.
How is it? Was the chopper already in the air when this happened? It was just able to go over to where it happened? Because, I mean, literally, I don't think I'm exaggerating that 6-7 minutes after this thing was a news flash that had happened, we saw pictures.
I tell you what, it was nearly darn close to being over the top of it. And here's how the fortunes play out, if you will, in terms of coverage. Talking to our guys, and it's been just crazy the last 24 hours almost now, but they were scheduled to be flying over the Target Center and the Timberwolves downtown at 6 o'clock, and there was a serious accident north of the Metro, and they were diverted to that. So they weren't right over downtown at 6 o'clock only because they were somewhere else. But they had, and they'd gotten back, and they had just literally put the skids down on the ground, and they were ramped right back up. So they weren't over it, but they were as close to being over it as you could possibly be.
So what did you do? Did you race out to the airport, and they came and picked you up? Is that how that worked?
That's what happened. It's like everybody else. I had just gotten home, too, and was literally just starting dinner, and whammo, the world changes.
I haven't seen it yet with my own eyes. I'm only, at least not in person. I obviously have seen, hours and hours of pictures. Tell me what you saw and what effect that had on you.
It's out there. It's devastating. And, I'm fortunately or unfortunately a person who has seen, Hurricane Katrina and Oklahoma City and all kinds of things, you name the disaster, and I think I've been there in the last 15 years, and it takes a lot to stun me, but this is different. This is such a large, what strikes you is it seems like it's an invincible structure, and it's been mangled upon itself by itself, and to see such destruction next to the downtown was difficult. It kind of reminded me of what New Orleans was like. The buildings were still standing, but there was panic and chaos in the streets. And yeah, absolutely. I would say that this was a sizable disaster on any level.
I mean, what does this mean? I have to confess, I'm a little confused. The Star Tribune has a front page story. Bridge was rated structurally deficient in 2005. I've not heard that adequately explained. I don't know if I'm throwing you a curveball by asking you this question, but apparently that doesn't mean the bridge was in danger of falling down. What does it mean?
Well, the explanation that I've heard from Secretary Peters from the Department of Transportation and reiterated by the governor this morning is that phrase means that it is a bridge that basically gets put on your radar and needs to be assessed for repairs or removal, basically. It doesn't mean it's going to fall down upon its ears. It doesn't mean it's dangerous at the moment, but it does mean that it, a decision needs to be made, whether, because you're going to have to do some work on it at some point to provide sustainability, or you're going to have to knock the thing down. But both state and federal officials were quick to point out that there's nobody in their right mind, and you have to believe them, because it's common sense. Nobody in their right mind would know that a bridge that transports 140,000 people a day that was seriously damaged or dangerous would be allowed to remain open. That's just beyond logic. And I tell you, Ron, you talk about the liability. If that is the case, then people will be criminally held accountable. But there's no way.
Well, I don't think we'll find that. I don't think we'll find that. But, you know, I'm from this town, and the notion that a bridge like this would just fall down, I mean, I hate to say it, bridges like this don't fall down without somebody dropping the ball in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if it was the design of the bridge. I don't know if it was the maintenance of the bridge. I don't know if it was the combination yesterday of the heat and the traffic and the... were they jackhammering at the time that the bridge fell? Do we know that?
I don't know. I don't think they were. I think my understanding is they were pretty well done with the demolition version or portion of that construction, and they were getting ready to kind of relay concrete, but they had not started doing that yet. So I have not heard anything that would suggest that they were essentially pounding on the bridge, which helped create it fall.
Bobby, before we let you go, anything you want to tell us that we would not otherwise know, or that I'm not clever enough to ask you?
We've over the years established that you're far smarter than I am.
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion, but yeah, go ahead.
I tell you, there's a couple things that stand out to me. Obviously, the comments by Chief Dolan about the police officers and emergency workers remaining with victims, perhaps providing a cell phone so they could say goodbye to their loved ones. These are people that were trapped in the wreckage and couldn't get out.
That's painful,
heroism.
Isn't it?
That is. That's what, that we talk about heroes. You know, just because they didn't pull them out doesn't make them not be a hero. They were able to say goodbye to their families. That's courage, to sit there while someone's dying. That strikes me as remarkable. The other thing that is impressive and understandable is that they're taking some time to get the plan that they're going to execute right. They're not rushing in there. They don't want to get somebody else killed trying to pull human remains out. It's not worth it. And a strange twist to this whole thing, the river level is so low because of the drought, it will make recovery somewhat easier.
Yeah.
And in a normal summer, that bridge that you see flat, that flat spot that's basically resting on top of the river, all of those cars would have been in the water normally, too.
Yeah.
So,
thank goodness for small favors, huh?
Exactly. And I think one last thing that sends with me, I think Senator Coleman hit it right on the head when he said, quote, the horrors will continue to play out. Today is going to be the bad day. Today is going to be the bad day.
All right, Robert, always a pleasure talking to you. We appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. That's Bob McNaney. 5 Eyewitness News was in the chopper all evening. All right, we're a little bit late. Why don't we go to Carolyn Peterson to get a traffic report?
Thank you very much, Ron. Taking a look at how some of the other freeways are faring with this 35W bridge collapse. Eastbound 94 from the Lowry Hill Tunnel to 35E, it's 13 minutes. Average speeds 51 miles an hour. Westbound 94 from 35E to the tunnel, that is 13 minutes. Northbound 35W can bypass the closure by using either East 94 to North 280 to North 35W, West 94 to East 694 to 35W, and many of the local roads are closed, and I will run through those next time in order not to be redundant. Also, 25 extra buses have been pressed into service at the following locations in the North End: Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, 63rd Avenue in Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Hall. I'm Carolyn Peterson. That's a look at the latest traffic with this 35W bridge collapse. Now a look at the news with John Hite.
Thank you, Carolyn. It's sunny and 83 degrees. Governor Pawlenty says he's ordered an immediate inspection of all Minnesota bridges that have a design like the 35W bridge. Pawlenty says he did not know how many bridges have that design. The death toll now still standing at 4, although it's believed that number will go much, much higher once recovery efforts are finished. Once the recovery is over, the investigation starts. NTSB Chairman Mark Rosenker is in the Twin Cities. He says the investigation will start immediately.
We understand there's some video out there that we want to get hold of and enhance. We will also be putting out a witness telephone number. If anybody has any either still photos or any other videos that may well be out there, we clearly would like to get hold of that for our analysis.
Rosenker says it'll probably take about a year to get their report out. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback says it's important to get things back up and running after the collapse of the bridge, but he also says it's important to remember those who are suffering.
This is something that will not be about one news cycle or a couple of days. It is really about families who are now only beginning to understand the depth of what it means to have a loved one who is no longer here, or to have a loved one whose whereabouts you don't know about.
Some folks are sharing their stories today about the collapse of the 35W bridge. This man, Dave, was driving northbound on the bridge.
I heard the incredible noise from behind me, and I looked to the construction on the southbound side, and it looked like the highway heaved on that section. And then I saw one of the construction guys start running, and that's when I realized this is actually more serious than it looks, because the construction guy is not going to just start running.
He was okay, able to get out of his car, but he says he felt helpless after getting out of the car. He was a guest this morning with Willie Clark and Jay Coles.
Hey, John,
yes.
Do you know anything about video? Actual video?
There is a video that was shot from the lock and dam. It's a security video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but has anybody seen it?
Yeah, oh yes. It's all over the internet.
Oh, what does it look like? Do you actually see the bridge go down?
You do, and literally, it's like that. When the people say they had no time to react, they're not kidding. It goes down like a deck of cards. It's an odd thing to see. Red Cross, by the way, asking for blood donations. People who want to help are asked to call 1-888-GIVE-BLD to make an appointment. Our 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast, maybe 87 today, clear down to 64 tonight, sunshine and 86 tomorrow. Right now, sunny, 83 degrees at AM 1500.
You know the drill. Just a pill to get through the flight. Or maybe a glass of wine. Maybe an antidepressant to help control your anxiety and depression. Maybe a nerve pill here and there just to help you cope. Maybe a drink at night just to take the edge off. And that second drink, well, who's counting? But nobody knows how much you worry, how stressed out you are, how inadequate you feel. Nobody understands the fear you have, the lack of satisfaction in your life, the loneliness. Well, I understand. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, panic, and stress. Maybe you don't have to depend on medication and alcohol. There's a better, long-lasting, healthy way to help yourself. Please, call right now and let me send you a powerful free tape that could change your life.
Call now and we'll send you this wonderful free tape. Call 800-660-1794. 1-800-660-1794. 1-800-660-1794.
Hey, it's Harmon Killebrew for Lampert Exteriors. One of my favorite memories of playing in the old Met Stadium was a chance to hit some home runs. And I did that in 1962, 63, and 64. Not a bad record to be proud of. Thank you, Minnesota. Just like Lampert Yards, who've been serving Minnesota since 1887, they've grown into a multifaceted company, now providing the best in exterior products for your home, such as Marvin Windows, GAF Roofing, and Georgia-Pacific Siding. Lampert Exteriors is the premium replacement Marvin window dealer of choice, and it's their own crews that provide the installation. No subcontractors. That's why Lampert's has so many satisfied customers in the Twin Cities. Check out Marvin Windows for your home today. That's perfection. That's Lampert Exteriors, part of Lampert Yards in Minnesota since 1887. Lampert Exteriors, call 651-695-3680. That's 651-695-3680. Or go to lampertexteriors.com and tell them Harmon Killebrew sent.
This is Lauren from the Home and Garden Show, and I want to tell you about a great product and a great company, Affordable Granite and Stone. If you're thinking about adding granite to your kitchen, your bathroom, or maybe the fireplace, give the folks at Affordable Granite a call at 763-450-3700. Affordable Granite is a husband and wife-owned business, and they offer the best installation of granite I've ever seen. Any joints are just about invisible, and when they're finished, it will look like the granite just grew around your countertops. I visited their showroom and even their warehouse myself and saw the many different types of granite and colors from all over the world. Affordable Granite and Stone is the only one in the industry to offer you stain-free granite. And for your new or existing granite, protect it with Granite Guard. You'll never need to reseal your granite again. Both come with a 15-year transferable warranty, and 0% financing is available to qualifying purchases. Get the granite you've always wanted, stain-free, with 0% financing, only at Affordable Granite and Stone. Just south of Highway 55 on the corner of Vicksburg and Medina Road. Phone number 763-450-3700. 763-450-3700.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
It just takes your breath away. It's an awful, horrific tragedy of historic proportions. And not just the cement and the concrete and the steel, but to think about the human life and the hurt and pain that's underneath or was underneath that, it just is staggering.
Are we ready? Can we go back? AM 1500 KSTP, Ron Rosenbaum. This is the Tommy Mischke Show. Obviously, I'm not Tom Mischke, but I'm sitting in for him. There's only one story in town, and I think there's the number of angles of this story are endless, obviously, first and foremost, and that's the one we're going to concentrate on before we get into some of the other issues, is the human element. I mean, I don't think anybody can see this story and not have your hearts go out to the people, not only the people who are injured and the people we know are deceased, but there are a lot of people, a number of people, that are, as we speak on this air, do not know whether the loved ones are gone, are just have not checked in. I mean, that's a certain form of torture. 646-825-5187-615-1500. We heard, and I have heard, I don't want to really go into detail because I don't know what's confirmed and what's not, but we did hear Chief Tim Dolan talking about an aspect of the story that at least I had not seen watching this thing last night, and that's that apparently there were police officers or maybe other first responders who were with people who were pinned or trapped. And apparently it was clear they were not going to make it, and some of them were handed cell phones to call their loved ones. That's the sort of pain that literally goes right through you, and that's the sort of thing that, you know, what can I tell you? It's heroism at the highest levels. We think of heroism as people who go in and risk their lives, and we saw plenty of that last night. Why don't we say hello? Jason, do you want me to take it on the top? Ian Punnett, everybody knows Ian. He used to be on AM 1500. Now he's on FM 107. I heard him extensively last night on CNN. He's also a minister, which you may or may not know. Let's say hello to Ian. Ian, you there with us?
Yeah, I am. In fact, Ron, if I could circle back to what you just said, I thought that was an interesting point about heroism, that, you know, we think of heroes as somebody who risk their lives. And for police officers on the scene or first responders to sharing their cell phones with people who are in the process of realizing that they're dying, is you're risking your dreams, you're risking your night's sleep, you're doing something there that they stay with you a lot longer than having saved someone's life.
Ian, you are an ordained minister, and how is it that you happened to be there last night? And tell us a little bit about what you saw with your own eyes and people you talked to.
Well, it's a process question, and I'm just a matter of dates, but I'm not quite ordained yet, but I'm very far along in the process, so that date is coming very soon. I was there because my wife and I responded to come to the station to provide any assistance. We were covering AM 1500 and FM 107 with the live feed from Channel 5. So since we already had a tape recorder and a mic in hand, we just, you know, trotted down to the base of the operations as close as we could get, and we got as close as you could possibly be without actually being a police officer or a firefighter.
What'd you see? And with I tell you, can you stick around for a couple minutes? We need to go to Carolyn Peterson traffic, then a break, and then we can come back. Can you stick with us a little bit?
Yeah, I'll be right here. Just buzz back when you're ready. And I've been listening. I thought it's been very interesting.
Thank you. That's Ian Punnett, AM 1500 KSTP. We go to Carolyn Peterson. We're going to give you traffic updates on the quarter hour. Obviously, today it's necessary. Carolyn?
Thank you very much, Thank you very much, Ron. Sorry about that.
Sure.
We have reports that traffic lights are out on Snelling at 94. Now, on a day when a major freeway is shut down in both directions, folks are scattering all over to complete their errands, and so any little problem is going to cause a headache. The report is that the traffic lights are out on Snelling over 94, affecting both directions, and people waiting in their cars for over a half an hour to get through that intersection. So keep that in mind if you're using the Aid Mill Road to perhaps cut across from 35 over to 94, but Snelling Avenue there is going to be a little bit of a standstill. If traveling into downtown Minneapolis from the North Metro, South 35W to South 280 to West 94 is an alternate. South 35W to West 694 to East 94, another alternate. And don't be afraid to use South 35E to West 94 into downtown Minneapolis. And again, there's that Snelling issue that could be a factor in your commute this afternoon. We are keeping you up to date on the traffic situation in the Twin Cities with the 35W Bridge disaster. I'm Carolyn Peterson for AM 1500 KSTP.
All right. Every now and then we may have a little technical difficulty, or we're doing things a little bit differently. We don't normally do traffic every 15 minutes, and we're scrambling and we're skipping breaks. So bear with us. We are trying to stay on top of a story that is, as they say, quickly developing. We'll talk to Ian Punnett again later, but now we have a you want me to take it again on the top? I will. Allison Triarce, five eyewitness news. I saw Allison literally almost as early as when I turned on the television shortly after this disaster. She was right there. Allison, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Do you know why I was right there?
I do not.
I was on my way home about to get on the bridge when police cars came in front of me and stopped the car and said, ma'am, you can't go there.
Oh, my goodness. So you could have been on that bridge.
Yeah, I could have. A few minutes before, I could have.
Before I get to what you saw and the people you talked to, because that was pretty interesting, it's sort of like, I mean, one of the things that happens in these disasters, I don't care if it's September 11th or Hurricane Katrina or this, is there's a certain there but for the grace of God. I mean, you talk to people like you, who, you know, 2 minutes earlier could have fallen off that bridge. It's kind of a weird way to live, isn't it?
It is, and to walk onto it and stand there and then look out and see where it's just broken in half and there's seven cars piled on top of each other below you.
Allison, when you first went on the air, one of the major stories that people followed, and thank God it came. I mean, this is a disaster, but it's a disaster that could have been worse. That school bus story, talk about that.
Oh, yeah. When I walked out there, you could see a semi on fire and next to it, a school bus. Mm. And from where we were, you couldn't see whether there were kids inside the bus or not. And as a crowd gathered, I literally found somebody with a mini camera to use a zoom lens to see if kids were on that bus. And thankfully, the back door was open. We couldn't see anybody. And, of course, stories unfold that people on that bridge helped those kids get out.
Yeah, the people who helped, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they weren't uniformed responders. I mean, weren't they just plain old civilians who came running back to the disaster to make sure the children got off that bus? Am I correct about that?
You are correct, and that's really the story that is still unreported. To get to all of those people on the bridge who helped each other, I have countless stories from witnesses who say a woman who had just had a baby 3 months ago, she's on the road. Next thing you know, she's down, plummeted down into that pile of six and seven cars. A pickup truck's on top of her car, and there's a man who shows up at her door and helps her get out. And he's just one of many of the people on the bridge helping each other.
Yeah, I think I saw you interview that woman. Am I correct about that? That was on
right.
Television, right?
Yes.
I mean, am I right? Her car, it fell down, and then a pickup truck landed on top of where the car seat would have had her baby, but the baby was not in the car. Have I got that? Is that what happened?
That is what happened.
My goodness. I mean, how did it feel to... I mean, I trust you were there before most of the responders got there.
Yeah, and to stand there and know that you can't do anything. The responders aren't there yet. The firefighters are getting there, but they're still organizing. You know, when firefighters arrive to something like that, of course they have to organize. They have to get a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what about all of those hundreds of people on that bridge who helped each other get off? I hear stories of a man using his car to go up and down the riverbank to try to get people off.
Mm.
I heard of a mother and her 7-year-old boy on the main break. You know, there's several breaks on that bridge.
Yep.
But the main break was about 50, 60 feet down. They went down head first. They're watching the ground. They land into the concrete. They walk away.
Yeah, that's remarkable to me. I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, there's tragedy here, but it's remarkable that more people weren't killed.
They said their car was totaled.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely totaled. Cars fell on top of them. They said the overhead signs suddenly falling in front of them, and then they realized that they were diving down, and they walked away.
Let me go back for a minute. Were you able to see the river from your vantage point?
Yes, but the river and pieces of concrete in the river and that truck and that school bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all confused with all the pieces of concrete.
I'm just wondering I haven't been there yet, but I think the river is, because of the drought, is fairly shallow. Were you able to see cars that were sitting in the river? I mean, what I'm trying to get a grip on is the one part of the story that we really don't know much about is how many cars actually went into the river and how many people in the end, they're calling it now a recovery mission, how many people will be deceased out of this thing?
The Coast Guard has come out just a little while ago saying they believe between 30 and 50 cars are in the water, and that we have a confirmed 30 people missing. And I just talked to one family who confirmed to me that their 30-year-old coworker is missing. So those stories are beginning to become more clear. But 30 people missing right now, 30 to 50 cars, I'm told, in the water.
Yeah, see, it occurred to me that, I've been on that bridge 1,000 times. It occurred to me that you probably had multiple people in a number of those cars, because I assume a lot of those people were heading to the ball game. I don't know that, but I'm just assuming that.
Well, the ball game, the daycare to pick up their baby, home after tennis practice for dinner. So many different people going so many different directions, but certainly everybody says the same thing, that they were backed up, not moving at all, just moving slowly.
Yeah. This is Minnesota. Bridges are not supposed to fall down. And later on today, I'll talk a little bit about the liability issues, which really is something that nobody's addressed. And I don't blame them. Nobody wants to talk about how this is all going to play out from a legal standpoint. But trust me, Allison, this is going to be a monstrous angle of this story that nobody's really talked about yet.
Latest score on that bridge was a 50 out of 120.
I'm no engineer. I don't know much about bridges, but I have heard, I don't know if you've heard, I talked to somebody who said this is a very rare kind of bridge that if I'm speaking the right language here, that did not have built-in redundancies. In other words, the idea being that if one part of this bridge failed, the whole bridge failed, and that's not the way they're building bridges today. Do you know anything about that at all?
I did have that confirmed with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, that particular style is not being built anymore. But that when one part of it goes, it all goes.
All right, Allison, before I let you go, and we certainly appreciate your time, anything else you saw or heard or would want our listeners to know? Because you were literally and figuratively, you were an eyewitness to this thing.
I just think the pictures, you can't understand it until you see it, to see all those large pieces of concrete and the cars. And now to know how long is it going to take to get those cars out of the water. The Corps of Engineers is here. They're thinking about drawing the water down by a 5 to 7 foot margin to see if they can help in the recovery process.
Yeah.
We've got the Coast Guard there. And then meanwhile, of course, the river's completely shut down. So there's all sorts of business angles. Once we get this recovery effort going, what's next?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's next is going to be monumental traffic problems in this town for years. And, I mean, we had traffic problems when this bridge operated. Now that it's gone, it's going to be a tough commute for a lot of people. And there's a lot of angles to this story. Allison, excellent work last night. Just terrific. That's really what a reporter is supposed to be doing, what you did.
Well, it's just from the heart. I do my best.
Thank you, Allison Triarce, 5 Eyewitness News. We need to take a break. We'll come back. We can maybe squeeze a call in as well. AM 1500, KSTP, Ron Rosenbaum in for Tommy Mischke.
How many years will it take to pay off your mortgage? 20? 30? The rest of your life? Well, what if I said you could eliminate your mortgage in as little as 5 years with just the money you already make? And what if you could get a free tape to get you started today?
In 6 years, we were able to pay off our mortgage and all of our debts. Today, we are totally debt-free.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. You can eliminate all your debts, including your mortgage, in as few as 5 to 7 years. Call today and I'll send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system. That's right, free.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
You can eliminate your debt faster than you ever imagined. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. 1-800-300-2173. That's 1-800-300-2173. 1-800-300-2173.
1 month you're making your mortgage payment with no problem. The next month, your rate jumps so drastically, you have to decide what to cut out just so you don't lose your home. I'm Deanna Doherty, president of American Equity Mortgage, and if you feel stuck in a mortgage you suddenly can't afford, listen carefully to this message. We've spent the last 15 years helping people in situations like yours find financial relief, and we can help you immediately.
Find financial relief now. Call 952-838-9900. That's 952-838-9900.
One of our experienced loan officers will talk to you right now and show you how your mortgage payment can be manageable again so you can return to enjoying your life.
Call 952-838-9900 or visit AmericanEquity.com. Celebrating 15 years in business by granting 15 wishes with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Equal housing lender. Additional restrictions apply. FHA approved lender.
Looking for the garage of your dreams? That special place, your special place, where you can store all of your motorized toys and equipment? Paul Brand here for Park Place Storage Condominiums, now open in Shakopee and Minnetrista, along with Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. Park Place Storage Condos are beautiful, well-lit storage units that you own, not rent. You're investing in light industrial property that will appreciate in value instead of handing over a monthly rent check. Sizes start at 18 feet wide, 45 feet deep with 14-foot high overhead doors. And each unit has gas heat, 60-amp electrical service, and secure 24/7 access. So whether you're looking for a place to store your boat, park your collector car, or keep the motorhome out of your driveway, Park Place Storage Condos have exactly the right garage for you. Call Joel Jorgensen at 952-250-2163 or visit online at parkplacestorage.net. Check out the garage of your dreams in Shakopee, Minnetrista, Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. 952-250-2163.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
You know, I don't know. I would probably say sheer stupidity simply because, you know, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But, you know, I mean, there was people down there who needed help. So I figured since the cops hadn't gotten here yet and neither had the medics, somebody had to help them out. So figured why not go?
Yeah, well, you know, that's Minnesota's best, Jason. That's what Minnesotans do. They don't wait. They jump in, and boy, we had a lot of heroes last night. 12:57 AM, 1500, KSTP, Ron Rosenbaum in for Tommy Mischke. This is the Tommy Mischke Show. Tom, on a cell phone, thank you for holding. You're on KSTP.
How you hitting them, Ronnie?
Oh, hi, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, I know you have an interest home in Athens, Greece, because we've talked about this before. Don't we take a lesson? Roads crumbled in Rome. They built the Colosseum rather than fixing the aqueducts in the Rome and the roads. Athens did the same thing.
Yep.
They overbuilt, they overextended, they bankrupted their treasury trying to do this and couldn't repair what they had. We have dikes in New Orleans that needed repairing. They built a Superdome, but they didn't repair the dikes and the pumps. We build ballparks. We built football. Now we're going to do a football one next, baseball, hockey. I got no problem with that. I love it. But we don't fix our bridges. What is there, is it 70 or 7,500 and some bridges that need to be repaired?
It's thousands of them, Tommy.
What are we doing building ballparks? What are we doing building trains? What are we doing?
Hey, not just the bridges. I mean, you go in the damn highways. Interstate 94. I mean, it's the biggest highway in town.
connects the Twin Cities, downtown St. Paul. You read it, it's like you're on an old country road. There's big potholes, things falling apart, and, you know, and right down the road, this bridge collapses. I'll tell you, Tommy, you grew up here, I grew up here. Weren't you shocked?
You know what? This stuff was built in the late 50s and through the 60s. It's old. It needs to be replaced and rebuilt. We've got public buildings falling apart. The state capitol in the basement's got mold. But yet we squander money,
yep, yep.
Just like Rome, just like Athens. And you know what? When the roads go, it's the first sign of a crumbling society.
Well, you know what, Tommy? I would like to disagree with you, but this is, I, if nothing else, maybe this will open up some sort of a dialogue, but I think our priorities are, I don't know what other listeners think, but I think our priorities are a little screwed up.
Don't count on anybody getting smart out of this. It'll, you know, in a month or 2 months when it's all cleaned up and they're building a new one and the unions are all working on it and making money, Ronnie, it just goes on and on till the end.
Tommy, good
hey, good to hear from you.
Good hearing your voice. Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. I mean, the infrastructure of this country. This was an interstate system. I think this bridge was built in the mid '60s, but the interstate system goes back to the '50s. And you know, it's easier for politicians to spend money on other things. But we do have an infrastructure that is crumbling in the greatest country in the world. All right, much more to come on the other side. Ron Rosenbaum, AM 1500, KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis, at 1 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Family and friends of the 30 or so people still missing after the Minneapolis bridge collapse are still waiting to hear exactly what happened to their loved ones. Recovery teams are in the water again today trying to recover some of the bodies from